Good morning and welcome. Last week, we heard Jesus teaching his disciples about a dishonest steward and about how it is not possible for us to serve both God and mammon. The Pharisees were also there with the disciples listening to Jesus. The Pharisees, however, reacted to the idea of not being able to serve two masters by ridiculing and mocking our Lord. Jesus responds to the mockery of the Pharisees by sharing with them several different teachings, one of which is this story we have heard about the rich man and Lazarus. On the surface, it appears to describe the reversal of roles for the two main characters. The rich man lived a lifestyle that can only be described as paradise, while the poor man, he lived a life of suffering and neglect. In the afterlife, however, it is the rich man who suffers, while the poor man enjoys paradise. It is understandable if one were to think that the rich man suffered because of being very wealthy. This belief would stem from the notion that money is evil, and therefore to be wealthy would somehow carry with it the stigma of also being evil. But just as we heard last week, it's not money that is the problem. Rather, it is the love of money where the problem exists. Living one's life with the main focus being upon money and material possessions, rather than placing our focus on God and making Him the center of our lives. This is where the problem exists for both the Pharisees who mocked Jesus and for the rich man in our gospel. Let us take a closer look at the words Jesus uses to describe the lifestyle of the rich man and of Lazarus. The rich man is said to dress in purple garments. This may seem odd to us, but in ancient times, this was viewed as the clothing of the very wealthy. The reason is because purple dye was very expensive back then. It was so expensive that most wealthy people, they could only maybe afford a few purple garments. Yet this rich man could afford to wear purple every day of his life. Then, when this rich man would have dinner, it wasn't just some fancy meal that he would enjoy. Rather, it was a meal that could only be described on a level of being like a feast. Now, it would have been impressive for a wealthy person to be able to host a feast a couple of times during a year. But this rich man was so wealthy that he could afford to host a feast every single day of the year. This is the kind of wealth that this rich man possessed and enjoyed. As for the poor man, whom Jesus refers to by the name of Lazarus, which is not to be confused with his friend Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. The Lazarus in today's story is most likely just a name used by Jesus to refer to this poor soul, who spent his days laying there at the rich man's door, witnessing such an extravagant lifestyle. We are told that Lazarus hungered to fill his belly with the rich man's table scraps. In other words, and more to the point, Lazarus was so hungry that he would have been happy to just eat the rich man's garbage. What a sad situation for him to be in. Also, Lazarus could not afford enough clothing to cover his sores as he lay there on the ground with his wounds exposed to the world. The imagery of dogs licking his wounds, it should not be viewed as some type of warm, fuzzy, feeling type of moment. Because unlike nowadays, when dogs may be loved, back then, dogs were actually despised. They were viewed as being unclean. Therefore, Lazarus, having his wounds licked by an unclean animal, further emphasized the fact that his status in life was that of an unclean person, a person who was viewed and treated as an outcast of society, one to be avoided at all costs. This is the magnitude of the difference in the lifestyles of these two individuals in today's gospel. Two souls on the opposite ends of the spectrum of society. Yet, when both of them die, even though the rich man was honored with a funeral, it is Lazarus who is carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham, while the rich man finds himself in a place of torment. Why is that? What sin had the rich man committed? Or maybe it's not so much what he had done, but rather what he had failed to do. Of course, by the same token, we could ask, what did Lazarus do to receive eternal happiness? Maybe this is the reason why Jesus names the poor man Lazarus. The name Lazarus means, "My God helps." Or sometimes it can also be worded as, "God is my help." It could be that Jesus names the poor man Lazarus to give us the indication that for this poor man, no matter how bad things got in his life, he never gave up on the hope that God would help him. Maybe the poor man lived his life believing and trusting in God's mercy and love. What about this phrase, the bosom of Abraham? In some translations, the phrase may also be worded as the lap of Abraham. Either way, it still seems like an odd phrase or statement for us nowadays. But it was actually how the ancients would refer to the place where the righteous would go to after their death while awaiting the Messiah. It was a place that was sometimes also referred to as the Feast of the Righteous. Remember that in those days, people would dine in a reclined position. Because of this, then it would not have been uncommon for one person's head to be laying upon the chest or lap of another person. Also, the places of honor were considered to be those places closest to the host. Abraham, who was labeled as righteous because of his faith and trust in God, was also viewed as being the host of this particular feast. And it is right there, next to the host, where Lazarus is found seated. The significance of this image would not have been lost upon the Pharisees whom Jesus was explaining this story. Nor would the rich man have misunderstood the image that he now witnessed in the afterlife. Yet even in death, the rich man still looked down upon Lazarus as he asked Abraham to command Lazarus to bring him something to drink. When his request is denied, then he asked for Lazarus to be sent back to earth in order to warn his family about what awaited them in the afterlife if they did not change their ways. Once again, his request is denied, as Abraham reminds the rich man that his family members have Moses and the prophets to listen to, particularly when they study scripture in a synagogue. Yet if they are unwilling to listen to the word of God in scripture and to take it to heart, then what chance is there of them accepting the words of someone raised from the dead? As for the rich man in the story, what is it that he rejects or neglects to accept in his life that results in his punishment? It is written in Scripture that God made us in his own image. The rich man failed to see past the exterior and to see God's image within Lazarus. This is what the rich man failed to do. He failed to see the image of God in the poor and the outcast of society. He failed to restore Lazarus to the dignity that is proper to a child of God. Just this past week, Pope Francis, in reflecting upon this year of mercy and about the need for us to be merciful just like our Heavenly Father is merciful to us, stated that we have a duty to recover the dignity of a child of the Father and to accompany him on his journey of conversion. A few weeks ago, the church rejoiced at the canonization mass of Mother Teresa. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, as she is now known, would oftentimes be asked about why she was so persistent in her efforts and desires to care for the poor and for the dying. She would so oftentimes respond that it was because she saw Jesus in the face of the poor. She cared for them because of the words that Jesus had spoken. What you do to the least of my people, you do unto me. Saint Teresa was an amazing woman. She worked tirelessly in caring for the poor and the outcast of society. She established a religious order. She raised funds to help establish facilities to care for the poor and for the dying. I could go on and on because the list of her accomplishments is quite long. Yet, if we were to strip it all away, if we were to take away all the honors, all the accomplishments of her life, if we were to just focus in on the most basic reason, to focus in on that one thing that was the driving force behind all that she had done, what we would find would be her desire to restore dignity to God's children. This she accomplished by simply being there for them, by their side, during their time of need, by holding their hand, by wiping the teardrops from their cheeks, by letting them know, by her actions, that in their final moments on earth, they were indeed loved, that they had not been forgotten, that they would not die alone, abandoned in some street. She did all of this while reminding them that they are indeed a child of God, created in the image of God, and deserving of the dignity that is appropriate for God's children. And for this, we call her a saint. Who amongst us cannot do the very same? Who amongst us cannot spend time with someone who is suffering, to hold their hand, to comfort them, to pray with them, to cry with them, to let them know that they are not alone in their suffering? We do not need enormous wealth to help the less fortunate. We just need to never forget that they are just like us. They too are children of God, worthy of respect and love because they too are made in His image. Let our prayer this day be for us to receive the courage, the wisdom, and the clarity of vision to see past the exterior conditions of one another and to see Jesus within our hearts of each other.